This morning's scripture reading is from the book of John, chapter 6, verses 24 through 35. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor the disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the bread of life and that you are about to nurture us this morning with your word. God, we thank you for forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the opportunity to express our love for you in song. Thank you for the wonderful privilege of being together as your people, your family, where all are welcome and accepted and loved. And thank you that you wish to speak your word to us today. May your Spirit open our hearts and our minds so we can understand, so we can receive, so we can accept your message for us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Anybody been on a diet lately? If you want to, or if you need to lose weight, you can pay to get the job done. I mean, Forbes magazine recently ran an article that touted the best commercial weight loss programs. Noom, Perfect Health, Reverse Health, Keto, I'm not sure how you pronounce that, Keto. Keto Cycle, by the way, Weight Watchers, you're probably familiar with Weight Watchers, Nutrisystem, Do Fasting, Beyond Body, and Simple. I'm not sure if you're familiar with most of them. But according to Forbes, these are among the best programs for people looking to drop a few pounds. Now, if you're like me, and you don't want to pay for a program in order to lose some weight, you can follow some basic dietary principles, right? So the ketogenic or keto diet stresses high amounts of fat, low to moderate amounts of protein, and very few carbohydrates. It's typically rich in foods like butter, cheese, eggs, meat, oils, seafood, and seeds, and poor on fruits and vegetables and grains and potatoes or sweets or other carbohydrate-rich foods. Carbs are a no-no. Does that appeal to anybody, that kind of diet? Others are preferring a Paleolithic or caveman diet. So it's based on the idea that obesity is caused by ingesting modern food that is loaded with sugar and fat and highly processed ingredients. Instead, we should regress to the hunter-gatherer motif that our Paleolithic ancestors practiced 2.5 million years ago. Others again praise intermittent fasting, or IF, as the best way to shed poundage. Intermittent fasting is a dietary routine where that regularly alternates between periods of fasting and eating. It may require you to fast for 12 to 40 hours at a time. Anybody ever tried that one? No? Okay, so can the Bible help with weight loss? I mean, as a person of faith, can the Bible help you trim some fat? As one dietitian noted, we can't go wrong with biblical foods such as grapes and olives and olive oil and flax and whole grain bread and pomegranates. But then we run into problems with all the dietary rules and restrictions found in the Old Testament, in Leviticus. So while our Jewish friends may prefer kosher food, and our Islamic neighbors might insist on a halal kitchen, most Christians are not so rigid when it comes to their food. And so if the Bible is going to influence our eating decisions at all, we should probably recognize the biblical stress on moderation. It says, let your moderation be known unto all in Philippians. And Oscar Wilde changed it a little bit by saying, everything in moderation, including moderation. And of course, the Apostle Paul reminds us the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And then here in John chapter 6, we have the Jesus diet. Bread, fish, and wine. And by the way, John chapter 6 is the longest chapter in John's gospel. He devotes more words to Jesus' self-identity as the bread of life than he does to an account of Jesus' death and suffering in chapter 19. And the chapter begins with one of Jesus' most iconic miracles. You all know about this miracle, the feeding of 5,000 men, roughly. And if you include women and children, it was probably closer to 15,000. And that's a lot of people that had to be fed that day. So it's no wonder that the disciples came to Jesus as the sun was beginning its descent over the Galilean hills to the west and said, Rabbi, we've got a situation. We need to tell the people that the show's over and ask them to go home. Because we didn't prepare for this. We have no food and money. And even if we did have the money, it would be more than 6 months' wages to feed all these people. But this is exactly how miracles begin. When someone declares that something is impossible. So just think about it. A mere 150 years ago, you would be certifiably crazy if you believed or even imagined that a machine would replace a horse and get you 500 miles over land in 8 hours. Or a flying machine could hold 500 people and zip through the air, leaving New York City and landing in Paris 6 hours later. That we could talk to someone anywhere in the world in real time. That we could see someone anywhere in the world in real time. Or instead of candles or oil lamps, we could just get light with the flick of a switch. Just when we think something is impossible, it's possible. And so the miracle unfolds, like the angel Gabriel said to Mary, for there is nothing that God cannot do. Nothing is impossible for God. So the first point I want to make, and the first lesson I think we learn, as did the disciples, by the way, is this. Don't allow your limited vision and your frail faith to constrain the work of a powerful God. Let me say it again. Don't let your limited vision and your frail and little faith constrain the work of a powerful God. Don't put God in your little box. The miracle of Jesus feeding all these people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes is not merely a display of Jesus' power over nature. It's also a symbolic act of divine provision and abundance. Because in this miracle, Jesus demonstrates his power to satisfy physical hunger, but he also unveils some profound spiritual truths about abundance and generosity and the boundless grace of God. But there's also something else. The miracle would not have happened if Jesus had not noticed their need. And the story begins with Jesus moving among the people, and he's laying his hands on them, and he's healing them of their diseases, and he's moved with compassion. And these people were now hungry and tired, and Jesus saw their need. And he first invited the disciples to come up with a plan, but when they failed, he took over. And it was such an amazing day that the people were ready to seize him by force and crown him as their king. And so the second point is this morning. Miracles happen when we notice that people around us are in desperate need. That's when miracles happen, when we discover the need. And the type of need varies, but the need is there. And when we obey Jesus, his simple command of, they don't need to go away, you give them something to eat, that's when we can expect amazing outcomes. When we accept the challenge, the bread and fish will appear. Like I just said, the effect of this miracle on more than 15,000 people was dramatic, and they wanted to take Jesus and just declare him and make him their king. So he knew that he and the disciples had to hightail out of this as they hopped in a boat and made their escape. But the crowds found them the next morning, which brings us to today's reading, the so-called Bread of Life discourse. And so we leave the feeding of the 5,000 and we learn that the heart of Jesus' miracle diet is bread. And that the bread that Jesus is referring to is himself. He says, I am the bread of life. And whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So Jesus is the bread of life, and he's the water of life. And so when we celebrate communion today, the water of life is now the wine of life. And the bread and the wine, the communion meal, is not just at the heart of the Jesus diet. Jesus is the meal. He identifies himself as the bread of life. And he emphasizes that he's the source of true spiritual nourishment. So the little boy was the source of literal nourishment for the multitudes with his 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But Jesus is the source of spiritual nourishment. And he stands in the place of the child by offering spiritual nourishment for those who believe in him. And this nourishment includes forgiveness and redemption and a restored relationship with God. But there's more. Because Jesus also satisfies our spiritual hunger. He announces that we don't ever need to hunger and thirst again. We don't have to search any longer. We don't have to look for answers in all the wrong places. When Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," he boldly asserts that he alone is the exclusive source of soul food. The kind of food that feeds us so that we hunger no more. And so when Jesus tells the world that he's the bread of life, he is offering the world a new diet plan. And it's a miracle diet. A diet that is high in spiritual nutrients. Because Jesus is the source of our energy and our power, and he invites us to try this diet and then find complete satisfaction. When we sign up for this exclusive program, he offers us purpose and eternal life. And so as the final point for today, I want to challenge you to trust the diet. To trust this diet. Because later in chapter 6, after the bread of life discourse, many of Jesus' on-the-fence followers found his words very hard to accept. And seeing this, Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Says to the disciples, "Well, do you want to leave as well?" And Peter says, "Lord, who would we go to? You have the words that give eternal life." So his response is classic and profound. He says, "You are the Holy One. We have faith in you." Because you see, like most diets, the miracle Jesus diet isn't always easy. Because there will be times when his teachings may challenge your beliefs and stretch your faith. And yet when doubts arise, we wouldn't go wrong by turning to Peter's words. "Your words give eternal life, and we have faith in you, and we are sure that you are God's Holy One. May that indeed be your words and my words as well. Jesus, you have the words of real life. I'm confident that you are the Holy One of God. You're not just a miracle worker. You are the one who gives eternal life." So as we navigate the complexities of life, may we remember that Jesus is the very source of life, both as bread and as water. And in him, we will find the nourishment and the guidance and the fulfillment our souls deeply crave. Let's commit our lives to the one who offers a plan that enables us to never hunger or thirst again. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, so often we look to satisfy our needs in all the wrong places. I pray that we will again discover the bread of life that nourishes us, that fills all of our needs, that gives us life that never ends, both here and for eternity. May we all invite the bread of life again into our lives to sustain us and nourish us and enable us to navigate all the difficulties and complexities of life we face every day. May you bless us with the faith we need in Jesus, your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.